Thanks for having us. We also want to welcome, guys, because we are recording this for an actual podcast. We want to welcome our audience who are listening to Unlikely Story today.
Oh, yeah.
So it's awesome to be doing this with you guys here at CART.
Yeah, this is, for those watching, where's the cameras? Boom, camera there and camera there. How's the angle on that one, Noah? That one's good? Okay, sweet. Thank you for joining us on Unlikely Story Podcast. We have a great group of students here at the Center for Advanced Research and Technology. And this is the film class?
Multimedia?
Multimedia.
Is that right?
Multimedia. Okay. Awesome. You've been called worse. Great. Cool.
Very excited to be here with you guys. And
what are the schools that are represented? Do we have anyone here from, McLean? Anyone from McLean? Sweet. We got one from McLean. Fresno High? Couple from Fresno High.
Do you guys remember that in the podcast? Getting cut off at Fresno High. We lost the location. It was like around Christmas time.
Who is from Fresno High that's here? Shame. Shame on you and your
school.
Hey,
it's not their fault.
It's not your fault. That was way before you guys were even there. But we figured it out. We got at the Fresno Veterans Memorial Auditorium, downtown Fresno. We used that as the high school.
Which isn't a high school.
Which isn't a high school, but the hallways looked like a high school. And it worked out. There were lots of hurdles. There will be lots of hurdles in anything that you're doing. It's getting over those hurdles that is what makes the end result great or worthwhile. If you don't have hurdles, it's too easy, then you're not really doing anything good or certainly not anything great. But that said, we got the gallows made. It ended up being in over 2,700 theaters and over 63 countries worldwide through Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema. And it is the least expensive movie ever made to go straight to a worldwide theatrical release. It cost us about $100,000 to make, which was a lot to us, but it grossed over $43 million box office and another, 20 or so in home video. So around $60 million off of our tiny, meager $100,000 budgeted film that we did ourselves with six other friends, our four actors, and our two other buddies right here in Fresno.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. It can be done, is the point. It can be done. Let's do a little bit of movie trivia.
Well, pushing through, that's a great segue. How many of you guys have seen Squid Game? Watching Squid Game? I mean, you probably have heard this, but the creator of Squid Game was taking that show around for like 9 or 10 years or something, getting no's left and right. I mean, or trying to get it out to the world. I don't know the full story, but I did hear that. And it's just one
of denied.
Right.
Denied and denied.
Just one of many examples of projects that have gone on and on and on. And someone or just a small group of people were pushing it, believing in it when everyone else was saying, no, this is dumb. I just watched another one on Power Rangers. Rangers, the concept of Power Rangers. The guy was shopping that around for 8 years and no one liked it. They thought it was stupid and looked cheesy.
And he was like, no, if we can just dub over some American voices on these actions, like it could be huge. And turns out he was right.
But
thank goodness for his persistence.
But imagine how demoralizing that would be to hear no for 8 years.
I don't have to imagine. We still hear it
for a couple
of years. People that don't understand the concept or whatever it is. And Hollywood's kind of a weird system. You have people in it that aren't necessarily creatives. They just like the allure of Hollywood and being part of it. But they don't really have a great creative sense of things. So they will turn things down that the creator knows will be successful. They just know it. And so it's a matter of just knowing in your heart that the project is greenlit, just not yet. And then just working toward it.
Yeah, that's a good quote and good way to look on a lot of things in life.
And how many of you actually really want to go into any type of multimedia career?
It's a lot of hands.
Most all of you, cool.
And you guys have access, like Travis said, to a lot of things here, especially at CART, that many students don't, and people who
They got access to stuff that we don't.
Well, I mean, you guys said you watched some of our episode one. So, I mean, like for me growing up in Nebraska, I had none of this. Like the closest thing we had was just like theater maybe for performance, but no technical side of anything when I was growing up. And YouTube wasn't really a thing yet. So it was difficult. You had to just like kind of figure out how to get a camera and make things, right? Like it was
the HD Handycam that you held like this.
The little tapes in the camera.
Have any of you seen the tapes? Like they're like this big. They're
the
like
fabled tapes.
They're kind of like cassette tapes, which
yeah.
Yeah. It'll take a museum visit to.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah. Anyone recognize that quote? It belongs in a museum.
If you don't recognize that quote.
Indiana Jones. You. Boom.
Oh, dang. You're getting a shirt for that. That's it.
Woo. We're going right away.
That's what knowing your movie quotes. So guys, we're excited to talk with you today. We're excited to take questions and just chat. Honestly, like we'd love to chat with you guys, and we have a microphone set up right here for questions and for any topics you guys might want to bring up and discuss.
Hi. So, how do you guys recover from creative burnouts?
That's tough because I feel like Chris is getting there, or he is there.
I'm getting there.
I feel like I've been there for a while.
I'm like a recovering patient.
because here's the problem. We have some stories that we're incredibly passionate about that it's like for our own minds and hearts, it's just not quite there. There's a couple story elements that are just not sitting well.
My answer to that, though, is it's tough to... Well, you guys probably have experienced this. Whenever you're doing a project, the hardest part seems to be to just get started, right? Like, make yourself get started. And that's the thing. I think it's the same thing with anything creative, script or filmmaking. The hardest part is just getting started. So I think for us, when you just sit down and just start talking ideas, whatever it is on any project, to me, that's what really breaks us out of the slump. You know, like if we're just not talking about
having creative discussions will help you just rekindle that fire and get it burning again.
Even if it's like something you just watched, like say it is Squid Game and you're like, oh, that I loved how they did this and that, and I love this story choice. And just talking about those things, I think, is a great exercise because it starts to get your mind flowing of, oh, what if it went this way? Or what if they had done this? And soon enough, you're telling your own story. And definitely having like friends or people that you guys like to talk creative stuff with is super helpful. Because, I mean, Travis and I, if we were just by ourselves, we'd have no one to bounce ideas off of, and it's
hard.
Yeah,
imagine what that would be like.
You get trapped in your own brain. And
yeah, you talk to yourself, and then you answer your own questions.
And then you're Smeagol before you know it.
And then you're Smeagol before you know it.
Yeah, and that's not good. I mean, I guess if you want to be Smeagol, I mean, I don't know.
Hopefully that answers that. There's a lot of ways to get around creative burnout. You just got to find what works for you. It'll happen.
Yeah, it will happen. Don't get discouraged when it does, because it will.
Because again, like the guy who brought... Saban Films, who brought Power Rangers into existence, was being told no. He wasn't just having creative burnout. He was being told whatever he was thinking was bad or wrong.
Rejection.
Rejected by the industry. Same thing with the writer and creator of Squid Game. So you have to just know in your heart the story is something that you're passionate about and continue working through those things and those challenges. Good question. Thank you.
Yeah. Next up.
What do you normally what do you draw inspiration from for your movies?
Great question. That's a great question. Well, we probably, like you guys, we just watch what's out there as much as we can. And we find things typically, like say if we're working on a thriller or a horror movie, we'll watch horror movies, we'll watch thrillers. We'll even try to find stories that are similar. Like say if our movie revolves around a kid, and it's really the kid's story or they're the main character, then maybe we'll watch The Sixth Sense. Maybe we'll watch Insidious. We'll watch things from a kid's perspective and try to glean as much from these other storytellers who are talented.
What works and what doesn't work.
Right. Actually, we just heard a quote from, who was it that was telling us this? Was it Bart? Someone was telling us that Steven Spielberg, who watches literally everything, he takes away from everything he watches what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
That's what he absorbs from everything he watches. Like what were the good aspects of that film or show and what was a miss? And he kind of analyzes that, right? And you guys can do that too, even with shorter content, social media stuff.
It may ruin movies for you because you're thinking of it from a technical perspective, which isn't bad, but Maybe try to watch each movie twice. Yeah. Once to enjoy it and then once to break it down.
I would say reading scripts too. Like if you guys can get your hands on scripts, which you can find online a lot of now.
Even of movies that have been made already.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you can see the styles. When you read a bad script, I say bad, but when you read a script that's like not Interstellar or not Nacho Libre, you'll notice it. And then when you read Interstellar, you'll see, oh, wow, this as an experience of reading was far more impactful. And you kind of see those differences, right? Great question. Hopefully that answered it.
Hi, my name's Charles. I'm really interested in like the creative processes behind making movies and writing stories and all that. So my question is, like, what's a time that you've ran into creative differences with someone and how do you solve that?
That's a great question.
We often have creative differences. They're not like, there's several different kinds. There's creative differences that are just simple story things that you kind of just, everyone's open-minded and you kind of work through it because no one's sure of what the right answer is. Mm-hmm. Then there's creative differences where someone wants something over here and you're way over here. And it's like, we've been in situations like that where our friends at Blumhouse, you guys, how many of you have heard of Blumhouse? They're in front of all the scary movies that you've seen lately probably, but they wanted one thing for Gallows and we were discussing this other thing and sometimes you have to just take the risk. Like we said, well, we're going to film this too. Yeah. We're just going to film this and that's what we're going to put in the edit because we were really filming and editing and doing all that work. So when we ended up testing it, this tested better than everyone over here expected. So we were right and they were wrong in that situation. But they added a ton of great input that where we did meet in the middle oftentimes on just kind of reshoot ideas and things that, that really were helpful. And those were the ones where we were kind of like, oh, we're not sure if this is going to work. Well, I'm not sure if that's going to work either. Well, why don't you try this? Well, okay, well, what about this? That messes that up. Maybe we should do it this way. And then we kind of merge into an agreement where we can all kind of be on the same page and going the same direction where we're all kind of like, yeah, we can all feel this. And that's what most creative people want is this kind of congruence between minds yeah. where everyone's kind of feeling a certain direction. And that's a good thing. If there's battles along the way, it refines the vision and it makes it better. So there's no need to be like frustrated. The initial gut reaction sometimes if you're told something different by someone is to be upset or like, well, they didn't like my idea or appreciate it. And we have that all the time between the two of us. But we know that the other person is coming from the common good of the project. That's yeah. their perspective.
That's a good point. And I would say just to add on to that, because that was all great, is that gut reaction that Travis talked about, which I think you guys have all experienced. It's that immediate feeling of like, no, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, why are you attacking my idea that's right? That takes time and practice, for me at least, to kind of get used to subduing and taking a breath and saying, okay, let me think about this idea that's coming in. Computer fell asleep.
Yeah.
And really trying to analyze it and give it time before you even respond sometimes. If your immediate thought is, oh, that's terrible, give it a beat. You know,
yeah,
think
yeah.
about
sometimes
it.
He'll say something to me and I'll be like, well, that's dumb. And but he
or vice versa. Yeah.
Or vice versa. And it's like, give me 3 more minutes to explain. And then after the 3 minutes, like, oh, that's brilliant. Like, I almost cut that off because I wasn't thinking about
it. Or even if you feel like you've digested it exactly the way that was intended and you still feel it's wrong, still give it a moment because if you have a better counterpoint, it might be better to give it some time to let the other person come down from that high of right. pitching the most gold idea that maybe isn't the most gold idea. And give it some time before you come back with a counterpoint like, hey, what about this? Did you think about this? Or what if it went this way? The person may be much more open to hearing that idea after some time has passed. So that's a long way of saying it takes time. It takes time.
You just have to be willing too. If you're the yeah. there's two things. If you're the person presenting the idea, give the person hearing it time to digest what you're saying. Okay. Also understand that they're thinking about things based on the current iteration of the story that what you're telling them might take away from or disrupt. So they might say, well, that's going to mess up this. Allow them that time. But if you're on this side, you're hearing something for the first time, you need to give time to the person presenting and give it, you know, allow it to marinate in your brain for a moment before you just jump back with why it won't work, okay? There's give and take. Both sides need to be understanding of each other. And how many of you, just by show of hands, agree that all we need these days, like in society and in life, is for people to seek first to understand, like understanding, right? I mean, just by show of hands, like, don't you think there's a lot of crazy crap going on in the world that if people would just understand or try to understand other perspectives, we would realize that we all agree on a lot more stuff than, right? Okay.
Yeah. So my question is, in your opinion, what is one of the most underrated films?
Most underrated films.
Most underrated
films. I'll say that there are a lot of, this is kind of a category, but I do think a lot of horror movies are underappreciated, totally. Especially when it comes to like awards, like Oscars.
Totally. Split?
Yeah.
Should have nailed an Oscar nomination for
James McAvoy.
For James McAvoy.
Or Toni Collette.
And Toni Collette in Hereditary. Oh, such a disturbing movie. But she is a brilliant performer. She, to me,
is
better than Meryl Streep. Right?
We have a whole rant on this episodes. Yeah. But no, I think that category is very underappreciated when it comes to performances and a lot of things because of the category, honestly. Like, yeah. I think a lot of people, they're starting to take it more seriously now, but for a long time, it was just kind of viewed as like just subpar, right? Like a horror movie is just a horror movie. It's not up there with movies that Meryl Streep is in, you know? It's not a drama. But the performances in some of these movies, it's really tough to act scared. I mean, imagine acting scared. Imagine trying to fake a surprise event, you know? It's really tough. So yeah, that's one category. I'm trying to think of a
movie that I think is underrated, but it's one of my favorite movies, is a movie called Stranger Than Fiction. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's Will Ferrell is in that movie, and he's not actually acting like Will Ferrell in the movie.
Yeah, more of a serious performance.
It's like actually him acting as someone else, not like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, where it's just an exaggerated version of Will Ferrell. He's actually playing a character in a role, and it's a pretty meaningful and impactful movie. The whole story of it, and like his willingness to be, you know, kind of who he needs to be in his destiny of the film. It's a great film, Stranger Than Fiction. Check that one out. But
next question. That was a good one. Thank you.
How do you figure out what to buy with the budget that you have?
Budgets are tricky, but we've done enough of small budget stuff to kind of, I think, get the hang of it. Honestly, first and foremost, when you're doing a budget, you got to kind of figure out what the essentials are, right? Like the stuff that's absolutely going to cost money kind of no matter what, which usually comes down to like food, gas, lodging. Like those kind of like the bare basics
you gotta
that you have.
Feed people, you have to eat, people have to stay somewhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just stay with you. We've had actors stay at our houses and crew members stay at our house. We got an extra room, so we'll put people wherever to help us save money. And if they're willing to do that too, it's great. It's great because we have some high profile people that were like, oh no, I want to just stay here with you guys. I don't want to go to the hotel.
And you'll like, be back to the food thing. You'll be surprised how many people will work for free if there's good food, you know? So again, like if you start from there and you kind of work your way backwards from those things, I think, then it's like, okay, is the actor going to cost me money? What am I paying the crew? If anything on this particular project, if it's not like a student thing or, you know, just a experimental thing.
It's tough. First off, you got to get money. Getting money is probably one of the hardest things.
That's the real question. How do you get the money?
Once you have it though, if you're in the studio system, it's pretty frivolous. It's pretty like whatever. Let's just get lobster on set for what it's kind of pretty terrible actually, because they write it all off and their studio accounting. A lot of you guys don't know, but when a movie makes $500 million box office, they spent $200 million to make it. They spend another $100 million to market it. Theaters keep half of that $500 million. So they've only made $250 million. So they're in the whole $50 million bucks. And then when it does well in the home video market and streaming, they find all kinds of ways to do continued advertising. So it ends up being like a wash. It's not all gravy on the back end. A lot of big movie stars really can get shafted by the system, how it is. But if you're an independent person, independent studio, and you've got a limited budget, you really have to stretch it. You have to do a lot more work than you might normally do on anything else to really make that dollar feel like $10 and $20 and $30. And you have to have a dedicated team of people that want the same thing for you. They either want experience or they want to, they just love it. You know, people got to love it. If they don't, just don't do it. Find something else to do. You got to love it because there's going to be a lot of hurdles in everyone's lives that will make it tricky and make you want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But fight through that stuff. Anyway,
next question.
Good morning, Chris and Travis. My name is Dylan. And I was really interested, how do you guys stay motivated in the editing and filming process, especially when that's something that might take years?
That's a great question. I mean, I will not lie, staying motivated with a project that is like a feature film or even something just longer than a TikTok, you know, is hard because
it's harder these days even more than ever.
Well, imagine like you guys are probably filming things for Instagram, YouTube, TikTok all the time, or you see that content. That's like instantaneous, right? You make it in a day, you post it in a day, and you get reaction in a day, all in the same day, even in hours even. For a feature film or a show, you're spending, like you said, potentially years on that project before it sees the light of day. And so you're just kind of hoping this whole time that what you're working on pays off, works out, and that people like it. So it's really just this like giant buildup of anticipation of work, of hours put into something that you hope will be what you intended when you started the process, right?
Double finger crossed.
Yeah, double
prayers to hope that it makes it into existence and yeah. People are accepting of it and they like it.
It is tough. And you do get down, you do get in slumps where you're just like questioning whether or not it is even worth it. And but that said, when the time comes to premiere your project or show it to people or get it out to the world, should you be so lucky and complete it, the reward is that much greater, right? You feel a much bigger weight off of your shoulders, and the pride in the project is greater.
Many of you have heard this, or many of you have indirectly experienced this because you were all born, but it's kind of like when a mom says it was painful to give birth to you, but the second they see you, they're so glad mm-hmm. for the pain. Sorry, I get emotional thinking about this. I have four kids and I love kids. And I think about the stories we tell and I kind of put myself in those situations where we've fought so hard and the pain sucked going through some of the projects that we've done. But then to see it get picked up by a festival, see it be featured on Hulu right now. We had all through Huluween, we had two of our movies at the number one selection for suggestions on Hulu. Our movie Held that we did with Bart Johnson, Coach Bolton from... That's why I said Wildcats, my Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. Coach Bolton musical. From High School Musical.
And then we had The Gallows Act 2, which was on Hulu. Also, both featured, one right on top of the other for supernatural horror and then suspense thriller. That was awesome. But that joy from seeing that in that way, that's the stuff that makes all the struggle of getting there worth it. And it's a pain, but it's like giving birth, you know? All the right up to it, you're going to die. But then you hold that baby in your hands and you think, this is why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good answer. Hopefully that answers your question. I mean, there really is no specific method other than just pushing through and believing in it, believing in yourself.
You've got to see that end goal and see it all the way through.
And maybe try to show some people things along the way, things that can give you encouragement. You know, like if you finished a scene or a moment or a shot even that you're proud of, you know, get feedback on it and show someone your work to give you that extra boost, yeah. Boost of energy to keep going. Next question. Great questions.
I'm the Maris, and my question is, what steps do you take to find and cast actors?
Casting. Good.
Casting is fun.
It is fun.
It's fun, but it's very judgmental.
It's so judgmental.
It's so awful. Like, we have in our minds visions of who we want to be in stuff, like what they look like, kind of. And you have to mix and match things nowadays. There's two reasons. One, you mix and match. You don't want to have two brunettes that are the same height, that look the same, because the audience will just get confused by that in the movie. They're like, oh, shoot, wait, I'm not watching the...
Have you guys ever seen that in a show or a movie where two actors look very similar and you can barely tell the difference?
Yeah, who's it makes it tough for the viewer. So you have to make sure that each character is unique from the other one. So there's that. Then also, like, diversity is a huge play right now. It's good. It's almost good to a fault at this point because you have studios that are only doing certain things just to check boxes. It's like unnaturally casting certain people that might not have an interest or a general interest in certain things. So it kind of, I don't know, you want to be true to the story while also being inclusive.
Yeah, it's
but,
it's
but
really
you don't
want to right
like
now.
Overdo it. It's a little bit weird, you know. You want to be representative of all kinds of things without being outlandish at the same time. I think a lot of people understand that in the industry. Now, if it's to your advantage right now, a lot of people are taking advantage of that in the system, which is great. I think it's great.
For us personally here in Fresno, there's a couple websites we use where we'll post descriptions of the characters we're looking for, and those go out to the big markets like LA and even up north, Bay Area. And actors in LA and stuff can go and look and see if they match, and then they submit themselves. And so we'll get a page full of, you know, sometimes up to 1,000 people who've submitted for a role, and we just go through the pictures, and that's how you start. You just go through their headshots, right?
And a lot of people just throw themselves at it. Like if we're asking for like a skinny, nerdy guy or something, and then we have like this tall Asian female that's like yoked, and we're like, why did she submit?
It makes no sense.
I don't know. They're like, hey, maybe just consider me for the part. We're like, okay, whatever. And so that's interesting sometimes, you know.
Sometimes you will get surprised by that, and if you give some of those a shot, you might get surprised.
Like we did. We wanted a black guy for a role, and then we had the guy with the glasses, skinny white guy.
Submit. Oh yeah. And Dennis too for Gallows 2.
Dennis,
too.
We had an albino guy audition for one for Gallows 2. And he actually, we were like, whatever. And
we
watched
him.
His audition, and it was so good. We were like, he is the new character for that.
Yeah.
And he was great. So sometimes you'll be surprised. Sometimes you're just like, oh, that's kind of weird.
But during the pandemic, especially, video auditions has become like the new thing, right? You'll submit a video reading. You'll interview via Zoom. And so it's a very digital process. You weed through all these people and pick the ones you want to see. And then that's pretty much what we do for a lot of speaking roles, because there aren't a lot of experienced actors around here in Fresno, but we do use Fresno a lot for featured parts, extras, background, and some other roles too, depending on the project.
I will say in our most recent thing that we filmed, which is a pitch pilot we're hoping to take to the streamers, we met a guy at the Blumhouse Halloween party a couple years back that you guys know, probably know. Are we going to have time to show that?
What time do we
we'll
get?
We'll have time to show that. Let's show that after the next couple of questions. And
cool.
And then we'll do some more questions after that. But I found a guy on TikTok. You'll see him. And then we met a guy who is Insta-famous.
That's our newest method of casting.
Yeah,
finding people on TikTok and just sending them a message.
Hey, are you down to do this?
It worked. Hey.
But casting can be very fun, very judgmental, because you're like, this person doesn't fit, next. And you have so many people, you can't, like...
Literally, when you have thousands, I mean, and that's what all of the casting agents do.
That takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And if it's a big studio production, a casting agent does that. If you're independent like us, we've cast just about all our stuff. So we met Bart Johnson at a Sundance party.
Yep.
And he was in our most recent movie, Held. But he was great. We just hit it off, and he was just a super nice guy. You guys, any of you know who Coach Bolton is from High School Musical? Anyway, great guy.
Zac Efron's dad.
Yeah, he was Zac Efron's dad in that movie.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I like you guys. Let's do this. You know, we got him for a reasonably priced guy. So
next question. That was a great question on casting.
So looking back to the beginning and how everything started, is there anything you guys would have done differently?
You know, we actually just thought about this recently when your son was interviewing us for his thing. The short answer is no, because I don't think we'd be where we are today if we did. Honestly,
it's tough because you don't know what you don't know when you're there.
Right.
You
know? There are some projects that have come our way, some scripts and things that we've turned down that sometimes we'll question and we'll be like, I wonder if we should have done that or should have taken that on. But again, I don't know, because if we had, we might not have done this or might not have done that film. And so I'd say no. You really just got to kind of trust your gut. And, you know, if there was a...
We know there's mistakes that we made.
Oh, sure.
Just for lack of knowledge. But failing is what got us good. Being bad at something and doing it is what got us to be better. So it's like the whole thing is, if you want to be great, you have to first be good. If you want to be good, you have to first be okay. Before being okay, you're going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
So just get through the sucky part first, you know, and then get better.
Great answer.
So when an opportunity is handed to you, how do you know that you should take it, if it's like the right opportunity for you?
So we do get scripts and projects and ideas that are thrown at us frequently. And I think to your question, we know, I think, when it's kind of immediately, not even immediately, but when it's kind of firing on all cylinders and we're excited about it and there's this kind of energy about, oh, what if we did this? Or what if we did this? Ooh, this character would be cool. Or, oh, I have a scene in mind and it's got to be this way. And so I think when there's that kind of energy or excitement about something, we know it's something to think about and mull over more.
That's about the story. There's also the idea of working with people. Like someone pitched us something that Spielberg liked 10 years ago that they've been sitting on, and having us kind of have our own iteration of it. And we're like, oh, that'd be awesome. We could work with DreamWorks and Steven Spielberg. I don't kind of really care what the story is about. I just want to work with them, you know? So that is exciting as well. So sometimes it's who you get to work
with.
That's
true.
And the story. Also, we pray about things, you know, we're believers. And I think that God will give you insight on whatever path you should take. If you're not feeling it or it's up in the air a little bit, you know, you can take stuff to God if you want.
Well, and oftentimes too, it's even if you are excited about something, you know, it's a 50-50 if even those good of odds, if it's even going to happen, you know, so things come together and things don't. So, or they take forever. They take 8 years, like some of these other projects we've been talking about. So I'd say trusting your gut really is kind of the first and foremost.
Certainly know if you don't like something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not digging this. Then just move on. Don't waste your time. Your time is precious.
What recommendations do you have for people going into the industry?
Great question. What recommendations do you have for going into the industry? If you're new, work on anything you can for free, for as long as you can, before you feel like you're ready to move on. That's just, I did that. Terry Crews did that. He talked about, I did all this stuff for free until I got recognized and people saw me for what I was doing. And you got to do it. You're not going to get much experience in this area. So if you guys can go for it, and I'll tell you a story about a couple of interns. Well, actually just one, but like the first guy that helped us with on the gallows, one of the two guys, they didn't know anything, Tyler Smith. He just finished his first feature and he got distribution for it. And he did a really great job, but he helped us like on sound and like hanging lights and stuff on the gallows so long ago. But
yeah, no training, did not go to CART or anything specialty like that.
He's an excellent grip now. He's an excellent sound mixer for on-set stuff. And he actually just finished and just went to a screen.
His skill set that kept him coming back and being called back was just that he was a great person, great guy, dependable,
reliable,
responsible,
and fun to be around.
And honestly, those qualities will get you so far. Like even if you know nothing, just being willing to help, anticipating, being, you know, a go-getter and taking feedback, all of those things, all the qualities are the basics, the bare bones of what will get you coming back to set.
And that's just one, as we have a British composer friend who says, just don't be an a-hole.
Yeah.
Essentially, don't be kind, don't be an a-hole.
Yeah.
Another guy, Noah, who's here with us, he's over here. Say hi to Noah. Hi. Noah is a graduate from Buchanan, graduated this last year. He was on set with us for the thing that we just shot, which was really cool, and he's been helping us with these things. Totally volunteered, but we saw that he was after it, wanted to learn, really taking initiative, and from that has been put into a lot of really great positions. I mean, he just started going to school down in LA, film school, wanting to be a director of photography. He has been able to have great experience with us on set in that department. I won't ruin the surprise of who we worked with here, but since he went down there and he's met with Jason Derulo and is like doing videos with Jason, TikToks and Instagrams all the time now. So like that's a really cool thing. They just did one with Hannah Stocking and Derulo and a bunch of those guys, his friends. So like he got that experience and then went up and said, hey, how can I do some shoot music videos for you for free? So he's been doing that and that's going to lead to the next thing and it's going to turn out to give him the experience that he needs. That anyone looking for a cinematographer is going to be like, oh, you know what you're doing. Great. I'll hire you.
Yeah.
That's going to turn into stuff.
Well, I was telling Noah, what I love about his story is just initiative. Again, it's like anything that you guys can possess, right? Just being brave enough to go say, hey, can I do something for you? Or, hey, can I, you know, help you with this? Or, you know, I work for free, I'll get coffee, or whatever it is that you want to say. But just that initiative alone is what open that door for Noah. And honestly, that's what it is just for about anything.
He's miles ahead of all the classmates at his film school right now. They're all probably going like, what, dude, you did this and that? And like, that's crazy. Because he was willing to go out and just be part of it. When other friends were doing video games or whatever, he was on set with us or trying to help us or see how we were editing things. You learn so much from just being in the environment. It's so put yourself in the environment. Let's show this clip here.
Yeah, we'll show you guys. So just to preface this a little bit. So this is a clip from what our most recent project that we've been working on is actually a TV pilot or a show. And we've been working on this since May was when we shot. And the goal with this is
the story we've had for like a year and a half.
That's true.
Two years or so. But
the we shot the pilot with the intention of pitching it alongside like a you know, like a treatment or an outline of the series, right? And to do exactly what the Squid Games guy did, hopefully, you know, take it around.
Or the Stranger Things guy.
Yeah, take it to streamers and producers and try to get it made as a full show.
Hopefully we don't get denied, though.
Yeah, so this is just a short clip from this, but this is what we've been working on.
So how many of you recognize anyone from in there? Just by show of hands, most of you. Who was it? King Batch. King Batch. Anyone recognize anyone else? None of you follow Colin Everett? He's a big guy. He's hilarious. But anyway, he's a TikTok guy. I actually saw him. I was going through a feed, and we couldn't find the guy we were looking for. And then I saw him, and I was like,
oh, just messaged him.
Let me just
TikTok.
Reach out, because this guy would be great for this part. And he turned out he was great. His handle is at Colin Your Mom.
Yeah, Colin Your Mom.
Colin.
We actually did an episode of the podcast with him. So yeah. You guys, if you want to see more, he's funny. He tells his story and kind of how he got his start in the podcast. It's pretty cool. Any other questions, guys, before we wrap up? I think we're close.
Okay, so they were showing us like your guys' podcast like in class and stuff. And our teacher was talking about it too. And I was like really inspired because I was like, wow, you guys are doing stuff in like high school and like filming and stuff. And I was like, I could literally be doing that and I'm not.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have access to like so much stuff and I'm not. And I was wondering how you guys start your storyboarding process, because I wanted to make a short film. And I don't know if you guys start off with like a character or a concept or like a genre or like how you guys start off with that. But I was wondering how you guys do
that's
that.
That's a great question. Storyboarding, which you guys probably know, is like kind of drawing out your images or your shots beforehand, right? And kind of planning. I was just talking to someone about this. Matt Olson was asking me. Oh, yeah. It's interesting. Some filmmakers will storyboard everything. Every frame gets super detailed down to every camera movement, everything. And some filmmakers won't. They just won't. They'll have maybe kind of a rough idea and they'll let the actors bring a lot to it and they'll kind of figure it out on set. We fall somewhere in the middle, I would say.
Yeah.
We're not crazy meticulous about storyboarding every single moment, but we do leave freedom for things on set.
We are not great artists, so we'll use stick figures if that's what we're gonna do. But anything you can do to pre-visualize what you're planning on doing will make things go much smoother on the day.
Especially if you're filming something that has like a time limit, like a commercial or an ad that's got to be 30 seconds or something, you really got to plan those seconds and be precious with them, right? Because it's got to be exact. So storyboarding, planning those shots ahead of time is...
And it depends each time. You could start with a character that you think is great or a scenario that you think is great.
Or what you just have access to. Honestly, there's been a lot of stories that we've come up with that have been based solely on a place or a resource that we have access to. Like, we're friends with the guys who started the trampoline parks, Defy and Skywalk and stuff. So we might plan an idea based in there just because we know we have access to it. You guys will have access to certain places through your parents, your family, your friends. You might have a cool warehouse that you have access to that'd be like, ooh, I could do a scary movie in there or a gangster scene or something.
Anyone here from Clovis North? Okay. Have you guys seen the Gallows poster? There's a poster for the Gallows. It's this girl is in a dark hallway with like red exit signs like glowing, and it's really dark and scary and ominous. Well, I work at the Clovis North Performing Arts Center from time to time. And when everything was shut down, when a concert was over, I'd be closing up and I'd walk down that hallway and I would just, you know, and I'd turn back and I'm like, you know, let me get going faster. And I thought, what a great hallway for a scene. And one of the most famous or recognizable scenes from the movie is in that hallway, and the poster is of the girl sitting there crying in that hallway with like the translucent figure of our villain from the movie in it. So when you're at the Performing Arts Center at the PAC up there, you can see that hallway and just be like, oh yeah, somebody got killed up in here. A lot of people died there, actually.
A lot of people died.
We had many versions. We tested it on him. We had two other actors.
That's another episode. Find that one. Was that the one with Ryan? The actor, Ryan. So the actor from Gallows, Ryan Schuster. There's an episode we did with him of the podcast.
Yeah.
Where we show some funny behind the scenes clips of me testing
out
that. Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. Maybe one last quick question and then wrap it up. If anyone's got one more thing. Yeah.
This one isn't like super about what you guys do, but
sure.
Are you guys besties and do you sometimes wear matching clothing?
Sometimes we accidentally will.
Accidentally, yes. All the time, accidentally.
I have a wife and four kids, and we live in the main section of the house. Chris has his own, like, suite, his in-law suite.
I don't know if I'd call it a suite.
It's not really a suite. They call it the multi-gen
unit.
It's a corner. But we're all in the same house, essentially, and our office is in the same house. We have a space where
I've lived with Travis's family now for over 10 years, so I'm like just...
We're family.
Uncle Chris to the kids, and just, we're friends. We do...
I wouldn't say we're besties, but but I wouldn't say that about anyone, probably.
It has been awesome to be here with you guys. So thank you for
And you guys have really
us.
Great teachers for, setting this stuff up and reaching out to us, and it's this relationship is really great.
Yeah, thank you guys. So. Thank your teachers. They're awesome.
Yay for the teachers.
Levels on that last statement. Can you go to repeat that?
Yay for the teachers.
One more
awesome.
Thank you guys for giving up your time freely today. And you guys follow them on social media. You guys are often posting things to get people to show up as extras for different things.
Yeah.
You never really know what opportunities are right around the corner, literally right around the corner in our community. So
very true.
Lots of great nuggets of info, guys. We appreciate you joining us today. So one more hand for Tremendum Pictures.
Selfie time.
Say cheese, everyone.
Cheese.